Hallelujah. Well, I have been talking about the culture of faith, so here comes part five. Say, well, I haven't heard part one through four. Well, get on the podcast or go out and get you a CD. They're available on the Rhema Bible Church BA podcast. And talking about the culture of faith, what we are saying is we are part, as a Christian, part of a new family and a new kingdom, a new land, if you will. And in going into a new place to assimilate into that culture, we have to know certain things. We talked about one of the great ways to assimilate into culture is to learn the language. To learn the language, that helps you. And there's definitely a language of faith. And we talked about the culture of God's kingdom is a culture of possibility. There's nothing impossible with God, right? We talked about that it is a culture of love the last time I spoke, that it is a culture of love. And then tonight, another thing I want to bring out, because the culture of, as I mentioned to you before, someone made the statement, the characteristics of the kingdom emanate from the king. So the characteristics of the kingdom of God emanate from God. Whatever God's characteristics are, that's to be the characteristics of this kingdom. And since we're his children and now citizens in this kingdom, they are to be our characteristics. We are to take upon his characteristics and see things and do things from his standpoint, the way he has. And it's radically different than what the world's doing today. Right? It's a radical difference. But tonight, I want to look at this. That part of the culture of this kingdom, the culture of faith, if you will, this land of faith that we've come into, is extravagant generosity. Our God is a generous God. Hallelujah. You know, I was sitting there thinking earlier, you know, thinking about that, how the characteristics of a kingdom emanate from the king. And you know, Rhema has certain characteristics. One of the characteristics about Rhema folk, and the reason it's this way is because, you know, God called Brother Hagin to raise. But the Rhema folks, we hate to lose. Have you ever noticed that? Denise knows better than me, but I've had people tell me, yeah, I'll never forget this one couple. They were part of the Rhema singers and that, and they said one night Brother Hagin called on the phone, got a hold of the wife, you know, and the husband's in the background saying, we're busy. Brother Hagin wanted to come over and play board games. Of course, I said, oh, sure, Brother Hay, we'll be right over. He's like, oh. And I said, why? What's wrong with that? He said, you don't leave until he says you leave, and he has to win before you leave. And if you let him win, you start over. It's not going to be any of this let me win stuff. I'm going to beat you and then bless you, go home. Well, if you know anything about Pastor Hagin, one of the other characteristics of the Rhema family, if you will, and you see it around the world, we just don't quit. We're not quitters. There ain't no quit in us, right? That's just not something. That's something that's built into us by the messages that we've heard on faith and the authority of the believer, and that's the characteristics. Well, why? Those are godly traits. God always, and you know this, God, it always wins. Love never fails, right? It never comes in. He always wins. It may look like we're not going to win, but I guarantee you we're going to win. How many of you have read the back of the book? We win. Hallelujah. I love him. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. That means we win. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? There is none. We win. Hallelujah. And so, you know, one of the great aspects of God is his generosity. Well, let's go to some familiar scriptures. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. You ready tonight? You ready to look into the word here? And let's just believe God. All right. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say, he gave. Yeah. Notice that because he gave the cause first, he loved you. When it says world, that means you, that means me. God so loved you that the only expression of that love that was good enough was to give. That's the expression of love, is to give. I heard Ed Cole say this years ago, love desires to benefit others at the expense of itself because love desires to give. If you want to, maybe the number one characteristic of love is its generosity, its giving. In fact, the King James translators, they really couldn't get their mind around this agape. They knew, and they used the word charity in the old King James. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they used the word charity, trying to bring out this aspect of it. It gives without expecting anything in return. When you give to charity, you're not expecting anything. You're giving it. And they're trying to bring that out, but we don't. Today, if we say charity, you think of some organization. But they were talking about God's nature to give. Now notice this. God so loved the world that he gave, whether you ever receive it or not, he's still giving it to you. And he says, how do you receive it? That you believe. That's why faith is so important in this. But God, notice this, God gave before. And you see God, you ever notice that God created the heavens and earth before and created the garden before he ever put man in it? He didn't put man in the garden and say, now stay away from that southwest corner over there. I'm not quite done. See, God is so generous and so in love with his creation that he provides ahead of time. In other words, what I'm trying to say. He gives. He can't help. I've got to give. I'm looking for ways to give. So much so, you don't even know you need it yet. He's given it to you. Glory to God. Look over at Romans chapter 8. He's a generous God. Now, we're looking at these characteristics of God. And as we do, we don't have time tonight to talk about. But realize, let's look at God's characteristics and realize these are also our characteristics. We have been made partakers of his divine nature. It's God's nature to give. He can't help it. That's who he is. He's generous, extravagant, extravagantly generous. That's as big as words as I can say, so I better leave that one there. Romans 8, 31 and 32. King James says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, what can be against us? What? God's for me. What? God's for me. He says, what can you say? I don't care what anybody said against you. God's on your side. Forget what they said. God's on your side. You know, when we live that way, we become unoffendable. If I know God's on my side, what do I care what you say about me? Now, I'm not going out of my way to be mean. You know what I'm saying? Let me sum up Denise's message this morning the way she did. Don't be a jerk. Somebody suggested we already have a book called Don't Be Stupid. Now we're going to write Don't Be a Jerk. And then the third book is Don't Be a Stupid Jerk. So, hey, there you go. But that's not even the best part of what we read here. I mean, that's great, but look at this in verse 32. He that spared not his own son. Now we read that in John 3, right? He gave. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, now I'll give this to you if you'll do this. No, he said, I'll freely give you all things. Bought and paid for. Here, I want to give you this car. Here's a new car. Oh, yeah, and by the way, they'll be sending you a payment book. You didn't give me anything. Right? No, there's no payment book showing up with what God has given. There's no debt on it. He freely is giving. That's the way he is. He freely gives. So, how many of you realize we should freely give? All right, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want to read this from the King James and also then from the Amplified Bible. Amplified. I like the Amplified Classic, the older version, and I don't know if that's what we have available on the screen or not. But anyway, James chapter 1. Familiar, you've probably heard this verse before. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, braideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, look at that sentence. The construction of that sentence there is very interesting. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then you could have left this next part out and went right to, and it shall be given him. And that's a complete thought, a complete statement. But that wasn't good enough for James. That wasn't good enough for the Spirit of God. He had to let us know that God gives to all liberally without condemnation. Now, liberally, the King James, you know, if you look it up and you do Greek, it's simplicity. But literally, I was praying about this, and I'm satisfied this is a good enough idea. Liberally means open-handed. I mean, here it is, come get it. It's yours, I'm giving it to you. He gives thought. Now, see, he could have just said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given to him. And we could probably shout about that. But he wanted you to know this. He wanted us to know that God is a liberal giver. What does that mean? He's going to give you more than, and he's going to give you more than you asked for. Because he's going to give it to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, you think about how God gives. Jesus said, told Peter, let's go launch out in the deep and cast out your nets for a catch. He didn't say let's go fishing. He said let's go catch. And he said nets. Well, Peter mustered up all the faith he could and said, Lord, you know, we fished all night, but nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net. Well, Jesus had already, and God had already provided a nets catch. And when you throw one net out into where you should have nets, it's going to sink your boat and break your net. So they had to call another boat over to come over. Now listen, God does that. You know, I've heard people say, well, God knows how much I can take and he's only going to give me what I can take. Jesus, do you think Jesus knew how much that boat would hold? Absolutely. But he told him to let out the nets. Listen, if your boat's not big enough, that's your fault, not God's. If he said nets, he meant nets. You know, Psalm 23, all right? My cup runneth over. What good is that? You know, if you sit there at home and you start filling up your cup and it runs over, you don't keep, but God is, get a bigger cup. Or get other cups and share. The running over part affects everybody else. That's how God wants to give to you. He's generous. He's a liberal giver. All right. The Amplified Bible here in verse 5 says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. I love that statement. Of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. See, God, when you go to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom, or I need, he doesn't say, well, why don't you have it? What's wrong with you? No, he gives. He gives. That's us. Let's not superimpose our nature, our carnal nature, over on God and say that he acts like us. No, we're to act like him. All right? Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Great. The chapter, you know, the hall of fame of faith, as some people have called it. But let's look what this says here. See, we're looking at how God is a giver. God's a generous giver. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who supplies all our needs. Never in the Word of God is he called El Cheapo or the God who is the withholder. The Bible says he will withhold no good thing from them that fear him. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. Rewarder. Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not a withholder, a rewarder. When you come to God, we believe that he is. He is what? Whatever we have need of. He is that. He's the answer. But I also have to believe that he's going to give it to me when I come to him. He's going to reward me with what I've asked him for. When I come to him in faith. Praise the Lord. That's why I heard Brother Doug say this years ago. We come to God armed with two things. Number one, we believe that he is. Number two, we believe he's going to give us what we've asked for. When we leave God, that place of prayer, we walk away saying, it's mine, I have it now. That's what faith does. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. God so wants us to be, he wants us to change the way we think about things. He wants to change us into givers. He wants us to be givers. He wants us to be like him. God gave his son Now, you give with, when I say, and let me make the statement, you give, God gives without demanding return, but he always expects return. Because give and it shall be given. See, seed time and harvest. You sow a seed, you expect to get, all right? So God loves us freely, but he expected you to respond to that love. And you are his harvest. You are the result of the seed of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to, as the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, but then rises, he said, I'm that corn of wheat. Hallelujah. Now here in Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands so he can make a living. Is that what it says? No, he says, work with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Now, is that a radical change of thinking from what the world's doing and what a lot of us have been doing, thinking, and you know, that I'm working because I've got to pay these bills? No, he said, work, but do it so that you have to give. That must mean that God is going to supply more than enough to meet my needs, and I've got it to give. Amen? Now, the thing about God, here's the thing about working. If you work, if you give yourself on your job, God, you put God in position to get involved with you. But if you just go put in time, you haven't given anything. See, give of yourself. I don't care where you're working, give of yourself. Okay? I mean, if you're working, if you're over here at, you know, at McDonald's working, give yourself there. Give it your best. Be a blessing there, all right? And let God get involved with you. You say, well, I don't make enough money there. Well, God, believe God to make up the difference. Amen. Some more we could say there, but we don't have time. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you doing all right? You know, preachers ask that. They don't really care. They just are asking you a question. No, I'm just joking. A little. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's begin in verse 1. I'm going to read this. You know what, for time's sake, let's go straight to the Message Bible, all right? If you've got that upstairs there, the Message Bible. He says, now friends, verse 1, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia province. Notice that. Notice how they describe it. I want to talk to you about how the generous ways God is working. Now, probably if you'd asked people from the natural standpoint, they wouldn't have thought God was being generous. Because let's look what he said. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors, or we could say their true character or nature. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. Now notice he said, how did he describe them? Desperately poor. And how did they respond to that? By giving. Keep reading. He says, I was there. I saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. They're desperately poor, and they're looking, there's got to be somebody poor, man, who can I help? Look at that attitude. This was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and caught us completely off guard. What explains it was, look at this, they had first given themselves unreservedly to God and to us. Listen, I don't care how poor you are materially, you got yourself. You can always give yourself. No one has control. You have yourself. Notice it. They gave themselves to God, and Paul said, and to us. So they gave themselves to help Paul in the ministry. You're part of a local church, you can give yourself to the local church. Amen? Now, he goes on here and gives some great, great things. He said, the other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. That's what prompted us to ask Titus to bring the relief offering to your attention so that what was so well begun could be finished up. You do so well in so many things. You trust God. You articulate. You're insightful. You're passionate. You love us. Now do your best in this too. I'm not trying to order you against your will, but by bringing in the Macedonians' enthusiasm as a stimulus to your love, I'm hoping to bring the best out of you. You are familiar with the generosity of our Master Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. Excuse me. So here's what I think. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up, so go to it. Once the commitment is clear, you do what you can, not what you can't. The heart regulates the hands. Now, the King James says in verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, not according to that he has not." Now, what's he saying? Wherever you are, this is really deep. You ready? Are you ready? Catch this. This might change your life. Wherever you are, there you are. And so it's according to what you have right now. You have to give out of that. You can't give what you don't have anyway. Well, if I want to make a pledge, that's different. We're not talking about pledging right now, but we're talking about giving what you have. And he says, God's not going to look at it according to what you don't have. He's not going to hold you responsible for what you don't have, but what do you have? Now, he goes on here. We're not going to read it. So that you're not burdened and someone else is free. No, they give out of what they have. And when everyone gives out of what they have, the whole need gets met. So it's according to what you have. You remember when the prophet came to her, she went to the prophet, this woman, her husband died. He's of the sons of, she said, my husband, you know, he's dead, and he left us in debt, and now the creditors come to take my sons. He asked her, I said, well, what do you have? Because he couldn't do anything with what she didn't have. What do you have? Well, she had some oil. She said, I got some oil. He said, get as many pots as you can. She should have went in the pot-making business. Because as long as she had pots to pour into, that oil stayed. You remember when Moses said, well, how are they going to know? God said, what do you have in your hand? He already had what he needed. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you've already got in your possession whatever it is you need to get you from where you are to where God has next for you. Amen. What do you have? You see, it's according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Rose, if you're up there, I'm going to add verse 6 into this too, if you would, please. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7 out of the Amplified here again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, he's talking to them about this. Now, remember, God never in his word asks us to do something or commands us to do something that he himself is not already or isn't willing to do. He's already these things. Because his whole thing is that we would be conformed into the image of his dear son. He's making us, every commandment in the word is making us, is to act like him. All right? Every time I act on the word of God, I'm acting like God because that's his will. I didn't say I was God, but I'm acting like him as his child. Okay? We've been adopted in this family and it's a totally radical, different family than what we were in. So he says here in 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Now notice this. He says here, sowing generously. Now we've already seen that God is generous. We've seen that. We've even heard other translations talk about that. Now notice the reason for his generosity is so that blessings can come to someone else. So in my giving, and that's why you got to be careful with some of the teaching that's out there on giving, you know, about, because if you're giving really for any other motivation that blessings would come to someone else, you're not giving according to the word of God. You're not being generous like God. You say, well, wait a minute, God's unlimited in his ability. Well, all things are possible to him that believes. You're unlimited too.
Amen.
See, do we really see ourselves this way? Generously gives. People that give generously give for the reason that blessings may come to someone else. Well, when you give that way, you're also going to reap, because sowing and reaping works. Now look at verse 7. Let each one give as he's made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. See, not because someone tells you a sad story and makes you cry and goes on, you know, does all kinds of things to try to get to your emotions, to get into your purse or your checkbook or your credit card, and tells you all kinds of those things. That's why I tell you, I love Pastor Hagin. He says, here's what we need. Here's what we're doing. Thank you. Don't go into all this other stuff, putting pressure on people. And you can, and making promises that if you'll give in this special offering tonight, I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to get this type of return. I got to read this quick because I'm out of time. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Why? Because that's how God gives. Amen. God's not going to do without you, because you're acting just like him when you give this way. Amen. Part of this kingdom, one of the great characteristics of it, is that we have a generous God, and that we are generous because he's been generous to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet if you would. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, we thank you that your love has caused you to be so generous to us. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor. We give you glory for all that you're doing in our lives, Father. Help us, Father, to walk in this characteristic of the kingdom, that we may be like you and be generous in every situation. Thank you, Father God, that you caused the seeds that we sow to be multiplied and the fruit of our righteousness to be multiplied, so that we always in every place have what enough to take care of what we need and also take care of others and help them. We give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now here in just a moment when we dismiss, if you are here and you need prayer for anything, come on down, ladies, to my right, your left, men to my left and your right. They'll pray with you according to the word of God, because that's where answers come from. Amen. From believing the word of God. First-time guest, connection team, would you go find our first-time guest? Give them a big hand clap tonight. Our first-time guest, praise God. We want you to get that special gift prepared on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagin and Rhema Bible Church. Amen. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say again, church? Welcome home. Hallelujah. We're glad. We're going to let them go ahead and go and get moving that way. If you need to pick up their children, they'll go do that. But we're so glad that you are with us. All right. Now, ladies, tonight is the last time here at church. You can go out in the north lobby and get the discount. All right. And you can get the discount online through Friday. After that, it's going to go up $5. You can still register here at church next week, but it's going to be $65 instead of $60, okay? So if you want to go out there, do that tonight. They'll be out there, but remember that the price goes up, the early bird discount, okay? We didn't say you were a bird. It's just the early bird discount. All right? Hallelujah. We good? Everything clear, folks? We're good? All right. Amen. We did. We got them going that way. All right. All right. Well, shake hands with two or three people. Just tell them you love them. You're glad they're here tonight, and you can be dismissed. Amen.